her calls. I haven't even bothered to purchase a new phone yet. She probably thinks I don't care, that I've moved on already too. My mind travels back to that quiet street in England, to Natalie's swollen belly, to Elijah's adoring smile for his fiancée. Trevor is looking at Tessa that same way. Trevor is her Elijah. He's her second chance to have what she deserves. The realization hits me like a ton of bricks. I need to leave. I have to get out of here and leave her alone. It now makes sense to me why I ran into Natalie that day. I saw the girl I hurt tremendously so I wouldn't make the same mistake again with Tessa. I have to leave. I have to get out of here before she sees me. But the moment I admit this to myself, she looks up and her eyes meet mine. Her smile vanishes, and the glass of wine slips from her hand and shatters on the hardwood floor. Everyone turns to look at her, but she stays focused on me. I break eye contact and see Trevor looking at her, confused but ready to spring into action to help her. Tessa blinks a few times, and her eyes travel to the floor.
"I'm so sorry,"
she says frantically, and bends down to try to gather the pieces of broken glass.
"Oh, please, it's okay. I'll grab a broom and some paper towels,"
Kimberly calls and hurries off. I need to get the fuck out of here. I turn, ready to run, and nearly trip over a little person. I look down and see Smith, who's staring at me blankly.
"Thought you weren't coming,"
he says. I shake my head and pat him on the head. "Yeah, I was just leaving."
"Why?"
"Because I shouldn't be here," I tell him and look over my shoulder. Trevor has grabbed the little brush from Kimberly and is helping Tessa gather the shards of glass and toss them into a small bag. There has to be some symbolism behind this, behind watching him help her pick up the pieces. Fucking metaphors.
"I don't like it either,"
Smith groans, and I look back at him and nod.
"Stay?"
he asks innocently. Hopefully. I look back and forth between Tessa and the kid. I don't feel as annoyed with the little guy as I once did. I don't think I have the energy to be annoyed with him. A hand suddenly falls on my shoulder.
"You should listen to him,"
Christian says and squeezes a little.
"At least stay until after dinner. Kim has put a lot of effort into tonight,"
he adds with a warm smile. I look over to where his girlfriend, in her simple black dress, wipes a towel across the mess Tessa made because of me. And of course, Tessa is right beside her, apologizing more than she probably needs to. "Fine," I agree, and give Christian a nod. If I can make it through this dinner, I can make it through anything. I'll just swallow the pain that comes from watching Tessa be so complacent without me. She appeared unaffected until she saw me, and then, when she did, sadness took over her beautiful face. I'll act the same, act like she isn't killing me with every blink of her eyes. If she's under the impression that I don't care, she'll be free to move on, and finally be treated the way that she deserves. Kimberly finishes cleaning up, right as one of the waiters rings a little dinner bell.
"Well, now that the show's over, it's time to eat,"
she says with a laugh, and sweeps her arms to guide people to the tables. I follow Christian to a table, then pick a seat at random, not paying attention to where Tessa and her friend are. I play with the silverware a little, until my father and Karen come over and greet me.
"I didn't expect to see you here, Harden," my father says.
I sigh as Karen takes the seat next to me.
"Everyone keeps saying that,"
I say. I don't allow myself to look up from the table to find Tessa.
"Have you spoken to her?"
Karen asks me almost inaudibly.
"No,"
I reply. I stare at the small printed swirl pattern on the tablecloth and wait for the waiters to bring out the food. Chickens. Whole fucking chickens are brought out on large platters. Bowl after bowl of sides are placed in a row along the table. Finally, I can't help but look up to find her.
I look to my left, but then I'm surprised to find that she's sitting almost directly across from me. Next to fucking Trevor, of course. She's absent-mindedly pushing an asparagus spear across her plate repeatedly. I know she doesn't like them, but she's too polite to not eat something someone else has prepared for her. I watch her as she closes her eyes and brings the vegetable to her mouth, and I almost smile when she tries her best to not appear disgusted as she washes the bite down with water, then pats her lips with a napkin. She catches me staring at her, and I immediately look away. I can see the pain behind her blue-grey eyes. Pain that I've caused. Pain that will only stop if I stay away from her and let her move on. All our unspoken words float in the air between us, and she directs her attention back to her plate. I don't look up again during the sumptuous meal, of which I barely take 5 bites. Even when I hear Trevor talking to Tessa about Seattle, I keep my eyes averted. For the first time in my life, I wish I was someone else. I would give anything to be Trevor, to be able to make her happy and not hurt her. Throughout the meal, Tessa answers his questions briefly, and I know she's thankful when Karen begins to talk about Landon and his longtime girlfriend in New York. The sounds of a fork against a glass ring through the room, and Christian stands up and says, "If I could have everyone's attention, please." He taps it one more time, then chuckles and adds, "I better stop before I break it," giving Tessa a whimsical look. Her cheeks flush, and I have to press my hands down against my thighs to hold myself in the chair and not tackle him to the ground for embarrassing her. I know he's only teasing, but it's still a dick move. "Thank you all so much for coming. It means the world to me to have everyone that I love here with us. I am beyond proud of the work that everyone in this room has done, and I couldn't possibly be making this move without you all. You're the best team I could ever hope for. Who knows? Maybe next year we'll even be opening an office in Los Angeles or even New York, so I can drive you all batshit crazy with the planning again." He nods at his own joke, but beams with ambition.
"Don't get ahead of yourself," Kimberly says, and smacks his butt.
"And you, especially you, Kimberly. I wouldn't be anywhere without you." His tone changes drastically, altering the air in the room as well. He takes her hands in his and moves to stand in front of where she sits. "After Rose died, I was living in complete darkness. The days came and went in a blur, and I never thought I would be happy again. I didn't think I was capable of loving anyone else. I had accepted that it would just be Smith and me. Then one day this bubbly blonde crashes into my office, 10 minutes late for her interview, and with the most hideous coffee stain on her white blouse. And that was it for me. I was captivated by her spirit and your energy." He turns to Kimberly. "You gave me life when I had none left in me. No one could ever replace Rose, and you knew that. But you didn't try to replace her. You welcomed her memory and helped me get my life back. I only wish I'd met you sooner, so I wasn't miserable for so long first." He laughs a little, trying to draw back on the emotionality of the moment, but he fails. "I love you, Kimberly, more than anything, and I would love to spend the rest of my life repaying you for what you have given me." He bends down on one knee. "Is this some kind of fucking joke? Is everyone I know suddenly deciding to get married, or is this some fucked up cosmic joke on me?" "This wasn't a celebration party. This was an engagement party." He smiles at the object of his affection. "Well, that is, if you say yes." Kimberly squeals and begins to cry. I look away from them as she practically screams her acceptance. I can't help but look at Tessa as she claps her hands to her face and wipes at her tears. I know she's doing her best to smile for her friend in this joyful moment, to pretend they're tears of happiness. But really, I can tell that she's only pretending. She's overwhelmed, having just listened to her friend hear everything that she once wished she would hear from me.
Chapter 89, Tessa. My chest aches as I watch Christian wrap his arms around Kimberly and lift her off the floor in a loving embrace. I'm so happy for her. I really am. It's just that it's hard to sit and watch someone get something that you wanted, no matter how happy you are for them. I would never want to take even an ounce of her happiness away, but it's hard to watch as he kisses both her cheeks and slides a gorgeous diamond ring onto her finger. I stand up from my seat, hoping that no one will notice my absence. I make it to the living room before the tears fall in earnest. I knew this would happen. I knew I would break. If he wasn't here, I could handle it. But it's too surreal, too painful to have him here. He came here to taunt me. He had to have. Why else come but not speak to me at all? It doesn't make sense. He's avoided me for the past 10 days, then he shows up here where he knew I would be. I shouldn't have come. I should have at least driven myself so I could leave right now. Zed won't be here until... Zed is coming to pick me up at 8. Looking at a sleek grandfather clock, I see it's 7:30 already. Harden will kill him, literally, if he sees him here. Or maybe he won't. Maybe he doesn't care at all. I find the restroom and close the door behind me. It takes me a moment to realize the light switch is a touchscreen panel on the wall. This house is too damn high-tech for me. I was absolutely humiliated when I dropped the wine glass. Harden seemed so indifferent, like he could care less about me being here or how awkward for me his presence really is. Has it even been hard for him? Did he spend days crying and lying in bed the way I did? I have no way to know, and he isn't giving off the heartbroken impression. Breathe, Tessa. You have to breathe. Ignore the knife lodged in your chest. I wipe my eyes and look at my reflection. My makeup hasn't smudged, thank goodness, and my hair is still perfectly curled. My cheeks are slightly flushed, but in a way it makes me look better, more lively. When I open the door, Trevor is leaning against the wall with concern clear in his features.
Are you okay? You ran out of there pretty fast.
He takes a step toward me. Yeah, I just needed some air, I lie. A stupid lie at that. It doesn't even make sense to rush to the bathroom for air. Lucky for me, Trevor is a gentleman and would never call me out on my lie the way Harden would.
Okay, they're serving dessert now if you're still hungry,
he says, and escorts me back down the hallway. Not really, but I'll have some, I respond. I practice regulating my breathing and find that it helps settle me some. I'm thinking about what to do about the impending Zed Harden meetup when I hear Smith's small voice coming from a room we pass by. How do you know? He asks in his little clinical manner.
Because I know everything,
Harden replies. Harden? Hanging out with Smith? I stop and wave Trevor on. Trevor, why don't you go on? I'm going to talk to Smith. He looks at me questioningly.
Are you sure? I can wait,
he offers. No, I'm fine. I politely dismiss him. He gives a little nod and wanders off, leaving me free to impolitely eavesdrop. Smith says something I don't get, and Harden replies,
I do, though. I know everything.
His voice is as calm as ever. I lean against the wall next to the door as Smith asks, Will she die?
No, man. What is with you always thinking everyone's going to die?
I don't know, the little boy tells him.
Well, it's not true. Not everyone dies.
Who dies?
Not everyone.
But who, Harden? Smith presses.
People. Bad people, I guess. And old people. And sick people. Oh, and sad people sometimes.
Like your pretty girl? My heart races.
No, she won't. She's not sad,
Harden says, and I put my hand over my mouth. Yeah, huh?
No, she's not. She's happy and she won't die. Neither will Kimberly.
How do you know?
I already told you how I know. It's because I know everything.
His tone has changed since the mention of my name. I hear a dismissive little laugh from Smith. No, you don't.
Are you okay now, or are you going to cry more?
Harden asks. Don't tease.
Sorry. Are you done crying, though?
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Don't mock me. It's rude.
Harden says. You're rude.
So are you. Are you sure you're only 5?
Harden asks, which is exactly what I've always wanted to ask the kid. Smith is so mature for his age, but I guess he has to be, considering what he's been through. Pretty sure. Do you want to play? Smith asks him.
No, I don't.
Why?
Why do you ask so many questions? You remind...
Tessa? Kimberly's voice startles me, and I nearly scream. She puts a reassuring hand on my shoulder. Sorry, have you seen Smith? He took off, and Harden, of all people, went after him. She looks confused, yet touched by that. No. I hurry down the hallway to avoid the humiliation of being caught by Harden. I know he heard Kimberly call my name. When I get back to the dining room, I approach the small group that Christian is speaking with and tell him how much I appreciate him inviting me, and I congratulate him on his engagement. Kimberly appears moments later, and I hug her goodbye before doing the same with Karen and Ken. I check my phone. 10 minutes until 8. Harden is occupied with Smith and obviously has no intention of speaking to me, and that's fine. That's what I need. I don't need him to apologize and tell me that he's been miserable without me. I don't need him to hold me and tell me we'll find a way to work this out, to fix everything he has broken. I don't need that. He won't do it anyway, so it's pointless to need it. It hurts less when I don't need it. By the time I reach the end of the driveway, I'm freezing. I should have worn a jacket. It's the end of January, and it's just begun to snow. I don't know what I was thinking. I hope Zed gets here soon. The icy wind is unforgiving as it whips my hair around and makes me shiver. I wrap my arms around me in an attempt to keep warm.
Tess?
I look up, and for a moment I think I'm imagining the boy in all black walking toward me in the snow.
What are you doing?
Harden asks me, drawing even closer. I'm leaving.
Oh.
He rubs his hand over the back of his neck like he always does. I stay quiet.
How are you?
He asks, and I'm baffled. How am I? I turn to look at him. I try to keep my cool as he stares at me with a completely neutral expression.
Yeah, I mean, are you, you know, okay?
Should I tell him the truth or lie? How are you? I ask, my teeth chattering.
I asked first.
He responds. This is not how I had envisioned our first encounter. I'm not entirely sure what I thought would happen, but this isn't it. I thought he would be cursing me out and we would be in a screaming match. Standing in a snow-dusted driveway, asking each other how we're doing, is the last thing I imagined. The lanterns hanging in the trees lining the driveway make Harden appear to be glowing, like an angel. Obviously an illusion. I'm fine, I lie. He looks me up and down slowly, making my stomach leap and my heart pound.
I see that.
His voice carries over the wind. And now, how are you? I want him to say he's doing terribly, but he doesn't.
Same. Fine.
Quickly, I ask, why haven't you called me? Maybe this will evoke some emotion from him.
I...
He looks at me and then down at his hands before running them through his snow-covered hair.
I was busy.
His answer is the wrecking ball that takes down the rest of my wall. Anger overpowers the bone-crushing hurt that is threatening to take over at any moment. You were busy?
Yeah, I was busy.
Wow.
Wow what?
He asks. You were busy? Do you know what I've been going through the last 11 days? It's been hell, and I felt pain that I didn't know I could endure, and at times I didn't think I could. I kept waiting. Waiting like a fucking idiot, I scream.
You don't know what I've been doing either. You always think you know everything, but you don't know shit,
he yells back, and I walk to the very end of the driveway. He's going to lose it when he sees who's picking me up. Where the hell is Zed anyway? It's 5 minutes after 8. Tell me then. Tell me what was more important than fighting for me, Harden. I wipe the tears from under my eyes and beg myself to stop crying. I'm so sick of crying all the time.
Chapter 90. Harden. When she starts to cry, it becomes much harder to keep a neutral face. I don't know what would happen if I told her that I've been through hell too, that I felt pain that I wasn't sure I could endure either. I think she'd run into my arms and tell me it's okay. She was listening to me talk to Smith. I know she was. She's sad, just the way the obnoxious little boy claimed. But I know how this ends. If she forgives me, I'll just come up with some other fucked up thing to do to her next. It's always been that way, and I don't know how to stop it. The only option here is giving her a chance to be with someone much better for her. I believe that deep fucking down she wants someone who is more like her. Someone with no tattoos, no piercings. Someone without a fucked up childhood and anger issues. She thinks that she loves me now, but one day, when I do something even more fucked up than I already have, she'll regret ever speaking to me. The more I look at her crying in this driveway with the snow falling down around her, the more I know that I'm not good for her. I'm Tom, and she's Daisy. Lovely Daisy, who was corrupted by Tom, and she's never the same after. If I beg for her forgiveness right now, on my knees, in this snowy driveway, she'll be the awful Daisy for eternity. All of her innocence will be gone, and she'll end up hating me and herself. If Tom had left Daisy at the first moment of her uncertainty, she could have had a life with the man she was destined to be with, a man that would have treated her the way she deserved to be treated. "It's none of your concern, really, is it?" I say, and watch as my words rattle her to her core. She should be inside with Trevor, or back home with Noah, not with me. I'm no Darcy, and she deserves one. I can't change for her. I will find a way to live without her, just the way she must live without me.
"How could you even say that? After everything we've been through, you just toss me aside and don't even have the decency to give me an explanation?"
she cries. Headlights appear at the end of the dark street, casting her into silhouette and creating new shadows across the land. "I'm doing this for you," I want to shout. But I don't. I just shrug my shoulders. Her mouth opens, then closes as a truck stops in front of us. That truck.
"What is he doing here?"
I croak.
"Picking me up,"
she says, with such offhand finality that the news nearly brings me to my knees.
Why is he... What the fuck?"
I pace back and forth. I have been trying to push her away from me and trying to let her move on so she could be with someone like herself. Not fucking Zed, out of all people.
Have you been seeing that piece of shit?"
I say, glaring at her. I'm aware of how frantic I sound, but I don't give a shit as I step past Tessa and walk over to where his truck is stopped.
"Get out of the goddamn car!"
I shout. Zed surprises me by climbing out and leaving the engine running. He's such a fucking idiot.
"Are you all right?"
he has the nerve to ask her. I get up in Zed's face.
"I knew it! I knew you were waiting for your moment to swoop in and make a move on her! Did you think I wouldn't find out?"
He looks at her, and she looks at him.
Holy fucking shit. This is really happening. "Leave him alone, Harden,"
she insists. And I snap. One of my hands wraps around the collar of Zed's jacket. The other connects with his jaw. Tessa screams, but it's barely a whisper, lost in the wind and my rage. Zed stumbles back, holding his jaw, but then he quickly steps back up toward me, he and his death wish.
"Did you think I wasn't going to find out? I fucking told you to stay away from her!"
I move to hit him again, but this time he blocks me and manages to nail me right in the jaw. Anger mixes with the adrenaline of being in a fight for the first time in weeks. I've missed this feeling. The energy flowing through my bloodstream, getting me high. I hit him in the ribs. This time he falls to the ground, and I'm on top of him in seconds, pummeling him again and again. I'll give him credit. He's managed to get in a few punches, but he has no way to overpower me.
I was there, and you weren't!
He eggs me on.
Stop it! Stop, Harden!
Tess pulls on my arm, and reflexively I knock her backward onto the driveway. Immediately, I snap out of my rage and turn to her as she backs away on her hands and knees, and then stands and puts her arms straight out, as if to ward me off. What the fuck did I just do?
Don't you fucking go near her!
Sid yells behind me. He's by her side in no time, and she's staring at him, not bothering to even look at me.
Tess, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't know it was you, I swear. You know how I see red when I'm angry. I'm so sorry.
She stares straight through me.
Can we just go, please?
She asks calmly, and my heart leaps, until I realize that she's talking to him, to Zed.
How the fuck did this happen?
Yes, of course. Zed drapes his jacket over her shoulders and opens the passenger seat of his truck for her and helps her inside.
Tessa!
I call again, but she doesn't acknowledge me as she buries her face in her hands and her body is racked with sobs. I point a finger at Zed and threaten,
"This isn't over!"
He nods and goes around to the driver's side before looking at me again.
"I think it is, actually."
He smirks and climbs inside his truck.
Chapter 91, Tessa.
"I'm so sorry that he pushed you like that,"
Zed tells me as I swipe the warm cloth across his busted cheek. The skin is cut and just won't stop bleeding. "No, it's not your fault. I'm sorry you keep getting dragged into this." I sigh and dip the cloth back into his sink. He had offered to take me back to Landon's instead of following our previous plan of seeing a movie, but I didn't want to go back to Landon's. I didn't want Harden to show up there and cause a scene. He's probably there destroying Ken and Karen's entire house right now. God, I hope not.
"It's cool. I know how he is. I'm just glad he didn't hurt you. Well, worse than he did."
He sighs. "I'm going to apply pressure to this, so it may hurt," I warn him. He closes his eyes as I press the cloth to his skin. The cut is deep. It looks like it may scar even. I hope not. Zed's face is too perfect to have a scar like this, and I certainly don't want to be the cause of it. "Done," I say, and he smiles despite the fact that his mouth is swollen as well. Why am I always cleaning up wounds?
"Thank you."
He smiles again as I rinse off the bloodstained towel. "I'll send you a bill," I tease.
"Are you sure you're okay, though? You hit the ground pretty hard."
"Yeah, I'm a little sore, but I'm fine." The events from tonight took a drastic turn for the worse when Harden followed me outside. I had a feeling he wasn't too hurt by me leaving him, but I thought he would be more affected than he was. He said he was busy, and that's why he hadn't called me. Even though I thought he wouldn't care as much as I did, I thought he loved me enough to care a little. Instead, he acted as if nothing had even happened, as if we were friends having a casual conversation. That is, until he saw Zed and lost it. If anything, I thought seeing Trevor would anger him and he would try to start a fight in front of everyone, but he couldn't have cared less, which is kind of strange. Regardless of how broken-hearted I am, I know Harden wouldn't hurt me purposely. But this is the second time something like this has happened. The first time I was quick to excuse his behavior. I was the one who convinced him to go to his father's for Christmas, and he just couldn't handle it. Tonight was his fault. He shouldn't even have been there.
"Are you hungry?"
Zed asks me as we leave his small bathroom for the living room. "No, I already ate at the party," I say. My voice is still hoarse from my excessive, embarrassing sobbing on the way to Zed's apartment.
"Okay. We don't have much anyway, but I could order you something if you want, so just let me know if you change your mind."
"Thank you." Zed is always so incredibly sweet to me.
My roommate will be here in a little while, but he won't bother us. He'll probably crash as soon as he gets in.
I really am sorry that this keeps happening, Zed.
Don't apologize. Like I said, I'm just glad I was there for you. Harden seemed pretty angry when I got there.
We were already fighting. I roll my eyes and take a seat on the couch, wincing from the soreness. Go figure. All of my bruises and cuts from my automobile accident just healed, and now I'm going to have another, from Harden. The back of my dress is dirty and ruined, and my shoes are scuffed down the sides. Harden really does ruin everything that he comes in contact with.
Do you need some clothes to sleep in?
Zed asks, handing me the old blanket I slept with a few nights ago. I'm slightly apprehensive about borrowing Zed's clothes. That's something I share with Harden, and I've never worn anyone else's clothing.
I think Molly has some stuff here, in my roommate's room. I know that's probably awkward.
He half smiles.
But I'm sure they're better than sleeping in that dress.
Molly is much thinner than me, and I almost laugh. I can't fit in her clothes, but thank you for thinking I could. Zed seems to be confused by my answer. His cluelessness is adorable.
Well, I have some clothes you can wear,
he offers, and I nod before I allow myself to overthink it. I can wear whoever stuff I want. Harden doesn't own me. He didn't even care enough to try to explain himself to me. Zed disappears into his bedroom and returns moments later with his hands full of clothing.
I grabbed a few different things. I don't know what you like.
There's something behind his tone that makes me think he'd really like to get to that stage with me. The one where you know what the other likes. The stage I'm at with Harden. Was at. Whatever. I grab a blue t-shirt and a pair of plaid pajama bottoms. I'm not picky. I give him a thankful smile before I go into the bathroom to change. To my horror, the plaid thing that I thought was pants is in fact a pair of boxers. Zed's boxers. Oh, God. I unzip my dress and pull the large t-shirt over my head before considering what to do about the boxers. The shirt is smaller than Harden's shirts are. It barely hits the top of my thigh, and it doesn't smell like Harden. Of course it doesn't. It's not Harden's. It smells like laundry soap with the smallest hint of cigarette smoke. The smell is nice somehow, though not as nice as the familiar scent of the boy that I miss. I pull the boxers up my legs and look down. They aren't too short. In fact, they're sort of baggy, tighter than Harden's would be, but not too tight. I'll just walk to the couch and cover myself with the blanket as fast as I can. I'm incredibly embarrassed to be wearing them, but it would be even more embarrassing to make a big deal out of it after everything Zed has been through tonight because of me. His poor face holds the proof of Harden's anger, a big bloody reminder of why Harden and I would never work. Harden only cares for himself, and the only reason he lost it when he saw Zed is his pride. He doesn't want me, but he doesn't want me to be with anyone else either. I leave my dress folded on the bathroom floor. It's already dirty and ruined anyway. I'll try the dry cleaners, but I'm not sure if it can be saved. I really loved that dress, too, and it cost me a decent amount of money. Money that I sorely need once I find my own apartment. I walk as fast as I can, but when I reach the living room, Zed is standing next to the television. His eyes go wide as they rake up and down my body.
Trying to find a movie to watch. Or something for you to watch, I mean.
He stammers, and I sit on the couch and pull the blanket over me. His fumbled words and the look in his eyes make him appear younger and more vulnerable than usual. He laughs nervously.
Sorry, I was trying to say I was turning the TV on so you could watch it.
Thank you, I say, and smile as he takes a seat on the other end of the couch. He rests his elbows on his knees and stares forward. If you don't want to keep hanging out with me, I understand, I say, to break the silence. He turns to face me.
What? No, don't think that.
His eyes pour into mine.
Don't worry about me. I can handle it. A couple beatings aren't going to make me stay away from you. The only thing that will is if you tell me to. You want me to, then I will. But until you tell me to go, I'm here.
I don't want you to go, that is. I just don't know what to do about Harden. I don't want him to hurt you again, I tell him.
He's a pretty violent guy. I know what to expect, I guess. Don't worry about me, though. I just hope that after seeing who he really is tonight, you'll distance yourself from him.
Sadness creeps in at the thought, but I say, I am. I definitely am. He doesn't care anyway, so why should I?
You shouldn't. You're too good for him anyway. You always have been,
he assures. I scoot closer to him on the couch, and he lifts my blanket and gets under it too, before pressing a button to turn on the television. I love the ease between us. He doesn't say things just for the single purpose of pissing me off, and he doesn't hurt my feelings on purpose. Are you tired? I ask him after a bit.
Nah. You?
A little.
Go to sleep, then. I can go to my room.
No. Actually, you can stay out here until I fall asleep? My tone is more asking than telling. He looks at me, relief and happiness in his eyes.
Yeah, sure. I can do that.
Chapter 92. Harden. I pound my fist onto the trunk of my car and scream to let out some of my anger. How did that happen? How did I push her to the ground? He knew what was going to happen the moment he stepped out of that truck, and he ended up getting his ass beat again. I know Tessa. She's going to pity him and blame herself for his ass beating, and then she's going to think she owes him something.
Fuck!
I scream even louder.
What are you yelling about?
Christian appears in the snowy driveway. I look over at him and roll my eyes.
Nothing!
The only person that I will ever love just left with the person I despise the most in the world. Vance looks at me with bemusement for a second.
Obviously something,
he quips, and takes a big sip of his drink.
I don't really feel like having a fucking heart-to-heart right now, I snap.
Such a coincidence. Neither do I. I'm just trying to figure out why there's an asshole screaming in my driveway, he says with a smile.
I nearly laugh at that.
Fuck off.
I take it she didn't accept your apology. Who says I gave an apology, or a reason to need one?
Because you're you, and on top of that, you're a man.
He salutes me and downs the rest of what's in his glass.
We always have to apologize first. It's the way it is.
Letting out a hard breath, I say, yeah, well, she doesn't want my apology.
Every woman wants an apology.
I can't get the image of her looking to Zed for comfort out of my mind.
Not mine.
Not her.
Fine, fine, fine,
Christian says, flapping his hands down.
Are you coming back inside?
No. I don't know.
I shake the snow from my hair and push it back off my forehead.
Ken, your dad and Karen are getting ready to leave. And I give a shit. Why?
I reply, and he chuckles.
Your language never ceases to surprise me.
I give him a grin.
What? You curse just as much as I do.
Exactly.
He puts his arm around my shoulders, and I surprise myself by letting him lead me back inside.
Chapter 93. Tessa. I can't sleep. I've been waking up every 30 minutes to check my phone to see if Harden's tried to contact me. Of course, there's nothing. I check my alarm again. I have classes tomorrow, so Zed's going to take me back to Landon's early enough to get ready and get to school on time. When I try to close my eyes again, my mind races, remembering the way the dream Harden pleaded with me to come home. Hearing it, dream or not, still kills me. After tossing and turning on the small couch, I decide to do what I should have done at the beginning of the night. When I push Zed's bedroom door open, I immediately hear his light snoring. He's shirtless and lying on his stomach with his arms folded under his head. I'm waging an internal war with myself as he stirs in his sleep.
Tessa?
He sits up.
Are you okay?
He sounds panicked. Yeah, I'm sorry for waking you up. I was just wondering if maybe I could sleep in here? I ask timidly. He looks at me for a second before saying,
Yeah, of course.
Shifting his body a little, he makes sure there is plenty of room for me to lie down. I try to ignore the fact that his bed doesn't have a sheet on it. He's a college boy, after all. Not everyone is as neat as I am. He slides a pillow across the mattress and I lie down next to him, the distance between us being less than a foot.
"Do you want to talk about anything?"
he asks. "Do I?" I wonder. But I say, "No, not tonight. I can't make out the mess that is inside of my head."
"Is there anything I can do?"
His voice is so soft in the darkness. "Scoot closer," I request, and he does just that. I'm nervous as I turn on my side to face him. His hand moves up to my cheek and he rubs his thumb back and forth. His touch is warm and gentle.
"I'm glad you're here with me and not him,"
Zed whispers. "Me too," I respond, having no clue if I mean it or not.
Chapter 94. Harden. Landon's developed quite the attitude since the night he attempted to assault me. He threw a tantrum at the airport when he saw me standing at the baggage claim and realized I was here to pick him up instead of his mum. Karen had agreed to allow me to pick her son up, maybe because she didn't want to go out after Vance's party, or maybe because she pities me. I'm not sure either way, but I'm glad she did. For his part, Landon is flat out annoyed, claiming that I'm the biggest asshole he's ever met, and refusing to get into the car with me at first. It took me nearly 20 minutes to convince my lovely stepbrother that riding with me had to be better than walking 30 miles in the middle of the night. After a few miles of driving in silence, I pick up the conversation where we agreed to let it die back in the terminal.
"Well, I'm here, Landon, and I need you to tell me what I should do. I'm split. Right down the fucking middle."
"Between what and what?" he asks.
"Between leaving here and going back home to England to ensure that Tessa has the life that she deserves, and driving over to Zed's and fucking murdering him."
"Where does she fit into the latter of those?"
I look at him and shrug. "I would make her come with me after I murder him."
"That's the problem here. You think you can make her do whatever you want. And look where that got you."
"I didn't mean it like that. I just mean..." I know he's right, so I don't even try to finish that thought. "But she's with Zed. I mean, how did that even happen? I can't fucking see straight thinking about it."
I groan, rubbing my temples. "Well, maybe I should drive then."
Landon is so fucking annoying.
"Harden, she stayed the night with him Friday and hung out with him all day Saturday."
My vision literally goes black.
"What? So she's just... so she's dating him?"
Landon traces a pattern on the window.
"I don't know if she's dating him, but I do know that when I talked to her Saturday, she said she'd laughed for the first time since you deserted her."
I scoff. "She doesn't even know him. I can't believe this shit's happening."
"Not to be a jerk, but you can't ignore the irony of the fact that you were so obsessed with her being with someone like her, but she ends up seeing someone just like you," Landon says.
"He's nothing like me," I say, and try to focus on the road before I end up breaking down in front of Landon. I stay quiet the rest of the ride to my father's house. "Did she cry at all?" I finally ask when I pull up to the driveway. Landon looks at me incredulously.
"Yes, for a week straight."
Then he shakes his head.
"Man, you have no idea what you've done to her. And you didn't even care. You're still only thinking about yourself."
"How can you say that when I've done this for her? I've kept myself away so that she can move on. I don't deserve her. You told me that yourself, remember?"
"I do, and I still mean it. But I also think she should be the one to decide what she deserves,"
he says with a huff and gets out of my car. Jace takes a puff from his joint, then looks at it intensely.
"I haven't really been doing shit lately, just hanging out. Tristan barely comes around anymore. He stuck up Steph's ass.
I murmur. I take a sip from my beer and look around his shit apartment. I don't even know why I came here in the first place, but I didn't know where else to go. I'm sure as hell not going back to that apartment tonight. I can't believe Tessa is with Zed. What the actual fuck? And Landon wouldn't call Tessa and trick her into coming back to my father's house, no matter how many times I tried to force him to. He's a dick. Still, I have to admit I admire his loyalty, but not when it stands in the way of what I want. Landon said I should allow Tessa to make the choice whether she wants to be with me or not, but I know what she'd choose. Well, I thought I did. I was completely blindsided by Zed picking her up and having spent almost the entire weekend with her.
"What's going on with you?"
Jace asks me, his pot smoke blowing right in my face. "Nothing."
"I must say, I was pretty surprised to have you show up at my door tonight, after what happened the last time I saw you,"
he reminds me. "You know why I'm here."
"Do I?"
he taunts. "Tessa and Zed. I know you know about it."
"Tessa? Tessa Young and Zed Evans?"
He smiles.
"Tell me."
He needs to wipe that goddamned smile off his face. After I meet him with silence, he shrugs.
"I don't know anything about it, honest."
He takes another drag, and small flakes of the white paper fall onto his lap. Not that he seems to notice.
"You're never honest." I take another sip. "Yes, I am."
"So they're fucking?" He raises a brow. I nearly choke on my breath from his question.
"Don't fucking go there.
Have you seen them together?" I breathe in and out slowly.
"Nope, I don't know anything about them."
Jace puts his joint in the ashtray.
"I thought he was dating some high school chick."
I stare at a pile of dirty laundry in the corner of the room. "So did I."
"So she ditched you for Zed?"
"Don't mock me. I'm not in the mood."
"You came here asking questions." "I'm not mocking you," Jace sneers.
"I heard they were together on Friday, and I wanted to know who was there."
"I don't know. I wasn't, though. Don't you two live together or some shit?"
He takes his wannabe hipster glasses off and places them on the table.
"Yes.
Why do you think I'm so pissed about this shit with Zed?"
"Well, you know how he's after what you..."
"I know." I hate Jace. I really do. And Zed. Couldn't Tessa have chosen Trevor to move on with? Holy shit. I never thought I would consider her being with Trevor a positive. I roll my eyes and fight the urge to knock Jace through his coffee table. This is getting me nowhere. None of this is. The drinking, the anger, none of it.
"You're sure you don't know shit? Because if I find out you do, I will kill you. You know that, don't you?"
I threaten, meaning every word.
"Yes, dude. We all know how psychotic you are over this chick. Stop being such a dick."
"I'm just warning you,"
I tell him, and he rolls his eyes. Why did I start hanging out with him in the first place? He's a fucking slime ball, and I should have let our so-called friendship end with me beating his ass. Jace gets up and does a slow stretch.
"Well, man, I'm going to bed now. It's 4 a.m. You can crash on the couch if you want."
"No, I'm good," I say, and head for the door.
It's 4 in the morning, and it's cold outside. But I'll never be able to sleep knowing she's with Zed, at his apartment. What if he's touching her? What if he spent this entire weekend touching her? Would she fuck him to spite me? No, I know her better than that. This is a girl who still blushes each time I slide her panties down her thighs. However, Zed can be pretty convincing, and he could have her drinking. I know she can't handle alcohol. Two drinks and she starts cursing like a sailor and trying to unfasten my belt. Fuck. If he gets her drunk and touches her... I make a U-turn right in the middle of the intersection and hope there are no cops around, especially since they'll smell the beer on my breath. Fuck this staying away from her shit. I may have been a dick to her, and I have treated her like shit. But Zed is far worse than me. I love her more than he or any other man possibly could. I know what I had now. I know what the fuck I had to lose, and now that I've lost it, I need it back. He can't have her. No one can. No one except me. God damn it! Why didn't I apologize to her at the party? That's what I should have done. I should have dropped to my knees in front of everyone and begged for her to forgive me. We could be in our bed together right now. Instead, I argued with her and accidentally knocked her over when I was so mad I couldn't tell who was who. Zed is a fucking prick. Who the fuck does he think he is, picking her up from that party? Is he serious? My anger is getting the best of me again. I need to calm down before I get there. If I stay calm, she'll speak to me, I hope. By the time I get to Zed's door, it's 4:30 in the morning. I stop and stand still for a few minutes in an attempt to calm myself down. Finally, I knock and wait impatiently. Just as I'm about to turn my knocking into pounding, the door swings open, revealing Tyler, Zed's roommate, who I've spoken to a few times when they had parties here.
"Scott? What's up, man?"
he slurs. "Where's Zed?" I push past him, not wasting any time. He rubs his eyes.
"Dude, you know it's like 5 in the morning, right?"
"Nope, only 4:30. Where?" But then I notice the folded-up blanket on the couch. Neatly folded. A Tessa indicator. It takes a moment for my brain to connect to the fact that the couch is empty. Where is she if she's not on the couch? Bile rises in my throat, and I lose the ability to breathe for the 100th time tonight. I storm across the apartment, leaving a confused Tyler in my wake. When I open Zed's bedroom, it's dark, near pitch black. I pull my phone from my pocket and swing on its flashlight. Tessa's blonde hair is sprawled out on the pillow under her, and Zed is shirtless. Oh my fucking God. When I find the light switch and flip it on, Tessa stirs and rolls over onto her side. My boot hits the edge of a desk with a loud thud. She scrunches her eyes shut and then opens them slightly to find the source of disruption. I try to think of what to say as I process the scene in front of me. Tess and Zed in bed, together.
"Harden?"
she whines, and a frown takes over as she appears to wake up. She looks over to Zed before she looks up at me, clearly shocked.
"What? What are you doing here?"
she asks frantically. "No, no. What are you doing here? In bed with him?" I try my best not to shout, my fingernails digging into my palm. If she fucked him, I'm done. Completely and utterly fucking done with her.
"How did you get in here?"
she asks, her face full of sadness.
"Tyler let me in.
You're in his bed. How could you be in his bed?" Zed rolls over onto his back and wipes his eyes. Then he pops up and sits ready, eyeing me where I stand in the doorway.
"What the hell are you doing in my room?"
he demands. "Don't, Harden. Stay still." I have to stay fucking still or someone will end up in the hospital. That someone is Zed. But if I'm going to get her away from him, I have to stay as calm as possible.
"I came to get you, Tessa. Let's go,"
I say, and reach my hand out, even though I'm across the room. Her brow furrows.
"Excuse me?"
Here comes the infamous Tessa attitude.
"You can't just come to my apartment and tell her to leave."
Zed moves to get out of bed, and I see he's only in loose gym shorts that sag down to show his boxers. I don't think I can stay calm. I can, and I just did. Tessa? I wait for her to get off the bed, but she doesn't move.
I'm not going anywhere with you, Harden,
she tells me.
You heard her, man. She's not coming with you,
Zed taunts me.
I wouldn't start that shit right now.
I'm trying with every fucking fiber of my being not to do anything that I'll regret.
So just shut the fuck up,
I growl. He throws his arms wide in challenge to me.
It's my apartment, my bedroom at that, and she doesn't want to go with you. So she's not. If you want to fight me, then go ahead. But I'm not going to force her to go if she doesn't want to.
When he finishes, he gives her the fakest concerned expression I've ever seen. I let out an evil laugh.
That's the plan, though, isn't it? You get me mad enough so I beat your ass, and she'll feel bad for you, and I'll be the monster who everyone is afraid of. Don't buy into this shit, Tessa!
I shout. I can't stand the fact that she's still sitting in his bed. And even more, I can't stand the fact that I can't beat the shit out of him for it, because that's exactly what he wants. Tessa sighs.
Just go.
Tessa, listen to me. He isn't who you think he is. He's not Mr. Fucking Innocent.
And how's that?
She challenges.
Because, well, I don't know yet, but I know he's using you for something. He just wants to fuck you. You know this,
I tell her, struggling to keep hold of my emotions.
No, he doesn't.
She says it flatly, but I can see she's getting angry.
Dude, you should just go. She doesn't want to leave. You're making a fool out of yourself.
When the words leave his busted lip, my body starts to shake. I have way too much anger that I need to let out.
I warned you to shut the fuck up!
Tessa, stop being difficult and let's go.
We need to talk.
It's the middle of the night, and you...
She begins, but I cut her off.
Please, Tessa!
Her expression changes as she hears my words, and I have no idea why.
No, Harden. You can't just come here and demand that I leave with you.
Zed shrugs and nonchalantly says,
Don't make me call the cops, Harden.
And that's it. I take a step toward him, but Tessa jumps up off the bed and steps between us.
Don't! Not again,
she begs, her eyes staring directly into mine.
Then come with me. You can't trust him,
I tell her. Zed scoffs.
And she can trust you. You blew it. Just face it. She deserves better than you. And if you would just let her be happy... Let her be happy? With you? As if you actually want a relationship with her. I know you only want to get into her pants. That's not true. I care about her and I could treat her better than you ever did.
He shouts back in my face, and Tessa presses her palms against my chest. I know it's stupid, but I can't help but revel in her touch, the way her hands feel against me. I haven't felt her touch in so long.
Both of you, stop, please! Harden, you have to go.
I'm not leaving, Tessa! You're too naive. He could give a shit about you!
I yell in her face. She doesn't even blink.
And you do. You were too busy to call me for 11 days. He was there when you weren't, and if...
She shouts and continues shouting something at me. But right then I notice her clothing. Is she? She isn't. I take a step back to find out for sure.
Are those... What the hell are you wearing?
I stammer and begin to pace back and forth. She looks down, seeming to have forgotten her attire.
Are those his fucking clothes?
I nearly scream. My voice cracks and I tug at my hair.
Harden,
she tries to speak.
"Indeed they are," Zed answers for her.
If she's wearing his clothes.
"Did you fuck him?"
I croak, tears threatening to spill at any given moment. Her eyes go wide.
"No, of course not."
"Tell me the truth right fucking now, Tessa! Did you fuck him?"
"I already answered you,"
she shouts back. Zed stands back and watches with a worried look on his bruised face. I should have done more damage.
"Did you touch him? Oh my fucking God! Did he touch you?"
I'm frantic and I don't give a shit. I can't handle this. If he touched her, I couldn't stand it. I wouldn't be able to. I turn to Zed before either of them can answer.
"If you touched her at all, I swear to fucking God I don't give a shit if she's here or not. I'll..."
She steps between us again, and I see fear in her eyes.
"Get out of my apartment now!"